Jared Clinton from the Hockey News joins us to discuss that and much more around the NHL. Jared, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, Jared, it's not a surprise when Washington only has 10 losses. Like, I'd be hard-pressed to find one statistic that doesn't show them in a good light. I think that would be the better challenge right now, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult to find any holes in Washington right now. Well-coached, strong offense, some nice up-and-coming defensemen. They just got Brooks Orpik back, and you really can't find any holes in Braden Holtby either.
Now, Brooks Orpik is the interesting one, because some analytics guys would suggest that he might be the weak spot. Is there anything that suggests that's true?
There is some stuff that suggests that's true, that he is kind of the weak spot, but I think they've found a perfect pairing for him with John Carlson. Carlson's the one shouldering the load there, but Orpik gives them a nice stay-at-home defenseman while Carlson can jump up in the rush. I think that's kind of where you need to find a spot for Orpik, too. You need to give him someone who can control the play while he just kind of stays at home and sits back and lets the play come to him instead. I think that's a good role for him, and I think they've kind of found a way to shelter him in a way in Washington that maybe he wasn't elsewhere.
What do you think they need at the deadline to make them an even stronger team?
I think maybe someone, honestly, depth scoring. I think depth scoring is a big thing anywhere you look, but Washington, even though they brought in Mike Richards, he hasn't scored yet. We're looking at a team that has all the high-impact offense that any team could want. But in the playoffs, there's those games where your top-line guys are just going to get shut down. There's nothing you can do about it. And the players who win games like those are the guys you wouldn't expect. I mean, we saw Max Talbot win a Stanley Cup with 2 goals. We saw Marcus Kruger last season in, the fourth or fifth overtime, score an OT winner. Those are the guys who are going to score those clutch goals for you. Maybe they're not going to be relied upon for that, but you need someone who can put the puck in the net when your top guys aren't clicking, and I think that's exactly what Washington can use.
Now, the Anaheim Ducks are a team that have completely turned things around. Their offense, of course, Ryan Getzlaff is going, so that makes a big difference. Anything else, though, that you see in their game that has changed drastically?
Yeah, defensively, they're just on an absolute shutdown team, and that's not something we really saw from them before. Analytically speaking, too, they were kind of a team that got their show run a little bit in the previous few seasons, but this season it's like an entirely different team. I think one person who really deserves a lot of credit, and he might not get the nod for Jack Adams, but Bruce Boudreau had calls for his head at the start of the season, and he turned the team into a defensive nightmare for the opposition, and now they're just running along perfectly. You really have to think the Ducks, maybe from the spot they were in earlier, are kind of a sleeper right now, but they're turning heads to the point where they could end up actually going into the playoffs as the top seed in the Pacific.
Well, they're definitely closing the gap with the Los Angeles Kings. Now, as you look around, and I read your article, and it would focus a lot, of course, on the Capitals and the Ducks. But as you're doing that, is there a team out there that is currently in a playoff spot that you see with 24, 25 games is maybe a little bit of smoke and mirrors and could fall off?
I think the first place you kind of have to look is New Jersey, but obviously the one that's going to stick out like a sore thumb is Colorado. They don't have good possession numbers, and I mean, they just don't have the depth of talent or the defensemen that can really carry them in the postseason. They're kind of carried along right now by good goaltending. Their top line players, when they're clicking, are some of the best in the world. You're still getting goals out of Jerome Iginla. But as soon as they get into the postseason, other teams are going to pick apart that defense. It's just bound to happen. And you can't go on living with, 40% of the total shots in the game, or, over the last 10 games, they were somewhere around 30% too. That's just ugly totals, and that's not sustainable, and it's not a way to win.
Breaking down numbers around the NHL, Jared Clinton joins us. Now, Jared, the Montreal Canadiens, there's been so much focus on the loss of Carey Price, and that obviously plays a huge part for that team. But the funny thing was, in their first 17 games of wins, he was in net for 10 of them. They'd won 7 games without him, so I can't say it's just Carey Price. Their lack of offense, and really, even their defensive zone play has really faltered here in the last 7 weeks.
Yeah, it's been one of those things where earlier in the season it looked like, hey, maybe this Montreal team finally found a way to score consistently. And that was really all that they needed, it seemed at least, all they needed to turn things around. But the offense fell apart as soon as Price, or shortly after Price went down. Condon's game slipped to the point where they went out and got Scrivens. And now we're seeing a Montreal team that maybe this is where they are without an all-world goaltender. And maybe there's, you know, maybe there's a lot of issues here that need to be resolved before this is a contending team, even with Carey Price. So I think there's a lot to be concerned about if you're a Canadiens fan right now. And, you know, it doesn't get any easier when we're having little scraps in the media between PK Subban and Michel Therrien.
Which is a scrap that I think the coach is going to lose.
Yeah, most likely. I don't think that's really a fight he should be picking or attempting to win, because Subban's more than a folk hero in Montreal already, and he's going to be one of those guys who's a star for years and years, and there's no way they're getting rid of him.
Well, the other thing is there's no numbers to back up. Now, even that play last night, to me, a play where you lose your seat, sure, maybe you could have dumped it in, but it gave up a 3-on-3. If your team can't defend a 3-on-3, I'd say that's a bigger issue.
Absolutely. And that's a play that PK Subban probably makes, a dozen times a game?
Yeah.
And the one time it goes the other way, it ends up in the back of the net. And, you know, there's going to be breaks like that over the course of the season. And, you know, just like you said, if your team can't defend a 3-on-3, the issues are bigger than one player. And you kind of want that play out of PK Subban, right? I mean, with an offense that's struggling, he's one guy who we all know can create a goal when the team needs it. He tried to create it and it backfired, but, you know, you got to give him props because he's trying to carry that team right now.
Jared, one last one before I let you go. I know you look at a lot of the analytics and stuff. Is there a player or two out there on a non-contending team that you think teams could look at that maybe would be under the radar for some as far as a good deadline acquisition?
One guy who actually always is talked about as a good acquisition, but he's hurt, is Jiří Tolusti. So that kind of scraps one there. But I think there's too many top-line guys right now that are available to even, you know, a lot of those are going to need to be the dominoes that fall before we start seeing teams go after those lower level guys. But I think if you're looking for mid-level talent that's really going to make a difference, you're probably going to have to look at someone like, I mean, even a Mark Arcabello would be a good example. He's on the Leafs and he's bounced around quite a bit, but he's one of those guys who in a fourth line role with the right line mates, you know, he could maybe produce for you. And that's what you want to find. You want to find guys who aren't going to break the bank, who are going to be able to come in for cheap and maybe be effective. And we talked about that with the Capitals, and that's exactly the type of player that maybe a team like the Caps should look at.
Jared, I appreciate your time, man. Have a great day.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.